Different phone numbers have been used over the years for emergencies. The old number here in the Philippines used to be 117. But then they started to copy the U.S. Now it's 911. When you have an emergency, what do you call? Well, years ago, it used to be 911-1111. Who knows that number?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, that's right. I don't know if they've changed their number from, I haven't ordered Pizza Hut to deliver, but in the old days, years ago when we were here before, it was 911-1111. But starting in 2016, the nationwide emergency number was changed to 911. So we are going to look at Psalm 91:1, and then the rest of the psalm. This psalm, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to that, and maybe just keep it open as we look at this psalm today. This psalm has a lot to say to encourage us when we feel like perhaps we have an emergency, or we are just kind of in a difficult place in our lives, or we just need a little bit of encouragement from the Lord. I'd like to read the whole psalm to begin with, and then we're going to go back and look at different passages along the way. Some of this will be very well known to you. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Lord, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil will be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This psalm has many images. It helps our imagination with all the beautiful metaphors and images. We can imagine in our minds some of what the psalmist is talking about. He begins with a statement about God is our shelter in the first couple of verses. Whoever dwells, whoever lives in the shelter. So there's a condition attached to this opening verse. We must make the choice to seek out God's safety. If we put ourselves out in the storm, out in the trouble, that's what we're going to get, right? Well, when it's really pouring down rain, what do? They go and find a shelter. And so, if we're out there in the troubles, we're going to get ourselves stuck, right? So we need to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And there we will find the rest of the Almighty. Winds and rains pound on us like these waves crashing against the ocean rocks. When we face constant pressure, or when it seems like the waves come in, you know, a wave comes in, crashes, and then it goes back out, and there's a moment of peace. And then it comes back in and crashes, and then it goes back out, and the water's all beautiful. You can take a picture one moment, and it looks like the world is falling apart. And then you can take a picture at the next moment, and it's just so beautiful and tranquil and quiet and peaceful. Life is full of challenges. Struggles teach us many things. They teach us to rely on God, not ourselves. We grow in our character when we experience the crashing of the waves. We develop our faith. As I was thinking about this psalm, my thoughts were drawn to Romans chapter 5, where Paul writes in verse 3, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Well, we're backwards there. How can we have hope if we never go through perseverance? You won't need hope, right? If everything's tranquil, what is there to hope for? So it's very logical. You go through the trouble, you persevere, you develop strength going through that character, and that gives you a stronger hope. And then Paul continues, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Verses 3 and 4 talk about how God is our protection. "Surely he will save you from the fowler." Anyone know what a fowler is? Well, I kind of, from the context, I knew what that word was. But I looked it up, and then it made sense to me. Do you know what a fowl is? A fowl is a word for chickens. You know, birds. So a fowler is like a hunter of birds. And so he will protect us from the fowler, the person who's going to go out and get the fowls or the birds. And so he protects us from the traps that are out there as we're hunting and pecking and looking for the worms and just carrying on in life. From the deadly pestilence, you know, things like COVID and, you know, other kinds of things. "He will cover you with his feathers," like this beautiful picture of this mother hen. I was amazed to find this when I searched on the internet, like we all do for our sermons, right? We look for those wonderful Google pictures. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Somehow, she got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 5 chicks under her wings. Amazing. That's what God does. He will protect us like this mother hen does to her chicks. See, God is not like the fowler who's out there to trap us. He is the one who protects us. It is God's faithfulness that secures us, not our own efforts. Verses 5 and 6 continue on with that theme of God is our protection. "You will not fear the terror of night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." I came across, go on to the next slide. I came across this advertisement on the internet. "We got you covered. Insurance." Have you ever heard of that phrase? "I've got you covered. Don't worry about it." So it's a phrase that has kind of floated around from time to time. Say, "Don't worry about it. I've got you covered. We'll take care of it." Well, that's the name of this insurance company. "We've got you covered, insurance." No matter what time of day or what circumstances we face, God is there for us. No matter what illness we face, no matter what situation we face. My thoughts are also drawn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And my mind started to go through all the heroes of faith. And I asked myself, which one of these never went through trouble? Which one of these never had a trial or a time of testing? And I could not think of any. Every hero in the Old Testament that is listed there had some kind of challenge that they faced. And remember that the author of Hebrews starts that chapter with a definition of faith. And so each one of those characters showed faith through their trials. What makes a hero? One psychological website describes a hero like this. One of the most essential qualities of a hero is their moral integrity. Heroes stand up for what is right, even when difficult or unpopular. They do not compromise their values or beliefs, and they are willing to make sacrifices for the greater good. Whatever they are fighting for, like social justice, rescuing people from danger, or simply being a positive role model, heroes have a profound impact on the world around them. In the Bible, heroes, yes, obviously they have integrity or good character, but much more, if we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, they have the essential quality of faith. Heroes for God have faith that helps them endure the challenges that they face. And then the psalmist talks about how God will take care of justice, just like, you know, Paul the apostle says, don't take out revenge. God will take care of it all. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000, but God will be there to protect you. He will watch you. And he'll take care of the wicked. Don't worry about them. Don't stress over the world and what's happening. You trust in God, and he'll take care of the rest. At the end of verse 7, it says, but it will not come near you. I didn't have time to do further study, but my mind was starting to wonder, just like when I grade student papers, that's a vague pronoun. You might see my comments on your papers. What is this pronoun? What is it here? I think it's almost like a fill in the blank. Whatever it is will not come near you. No matter what problem the world throws at us, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Not everything in life will be smooth and easy. One of the most beautiful flowers, go on to the next slide. One of the most beautiful flowers is the rose. I took this picture in Korea in November, when I was there. It was just at the end of the season, and the roses were just very beautiful. This was in a rose garden. So I got my camera out and went up really close. Roses are one of the most beautiful flowers in the world. But you know what's on the stem of the roses? And you have to be very careful when you pick them. Thorns. One Christmas break when I was in college, I came home to my hometown, and I had a cousin who was working in a greenhouse. That was his job. And so he said, well, come on over and we'll hire you for a couple weeks. So I went over and helped him weed the rose garden in the greenhouse. They were able to grow roses in the greenhouse. So I was under there with a little pick, constantly doing all these little weeds. But I had to be very careful because there were thorns that were just ready to poke me. The world is a dangerous place. Sometimes, when it rains, it pours. Go on to the next slide. Sometimes bad things happen to us, followed by a lot of more bad things. That's what it means. When it rains, it pours. It means it's not just sprinkling, but it just gets worse and worse. One thing seems to lead to another, and soon we find ourselves swamped in a flood. So when it rains, it pours. That means life gets really difficult sometimes. But God is our shelter. He is our umbrella. And He's going to keep us dry when all the world around us is pouring down rain. Verse 9 says, if you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, different translation than what I read here, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Verse 9 is another one of those conditions. Starts with the word if. If we make the Lord our refuge, then there is this promise. But if we do not, then we're asking for trouble out in the reins of the world. So if we do not make God our refuge, our shelter, then we are setting ourselves up for all of these things that are listed here. You know, disaster, you know, stumbling, the cobras, the lions. We cannot know all that God does to protect us. The psalmist here talks about God's angels. I've had many close calls in life, especially in driving in Manila traffic. Go on to the next slide. Anyone guess what road that is? No. Yeah, that's EDSA. Yeah, we drove EDSA last night, just praying, Lord. Every time I've been pulled over in the Philippines by the police, it's been on EDSA. So I try to avoid EDSA. If you drive in Manila, don't drive on EDSA. They're just waiting. In fact, last night, you have to know exactly what lane to be in. So, you know, I was in this lane over here, so okay, why is everybody slowing down? Oh, let's get over real quick. Kind of push my way over. Because those were two turn lanes that were unmarked until you get up close. And then there were about three or four police just waiting right there to get people. So you have to choose the right lane to be when you travel on EDSA. Yeah. I often say a prayer when I'm in traffic. Lord, get us home safely. I don't know if you've ever been in an automobile accident. When we left the Philippines back in 2008, I was teaching here at APNTS, and we had to go back to the United States for some medical care for Shan. We did not know where God would lead us. I had applied at different districts to be a pastor. And then God opened the door for us to go to the little cowboy town, Sheridan, Wyoming. Wonderful place where there are a lot of cowboys and many things like that. Those were good years. And then God was leading us another place. It was time to pack up. We had bought an old camper trailer from Rhonda's brother. So it was Sunday night, and I had a couple of free days. I was going to haul a bunch of our stuff from Sheridan, Wyoming to Idaho. Good 10-hour hard drive. So we packed up our camper trailer with a bunch of stuff, and packed the inside of, we had a long extended pickup truck. So I packed all that full of stuff. I thought, okay, little room here. I'm going to pack in our three or four cases of Kerr canning jars. Those are quart jars about like this that we use for canning beans and fruit and things like that. So I threw those in real quick. And after Sunday night church, okay, I'm going to take off. I'm going to take care of this. I'll get halfway tonight, rest, and then get there the next day so I can come back. So about 25 miles outside of Sheridan. Sheridan is right next to the Bighorn Mountains in northern Wyoming. This was November. So I was not going too fast, maybe 30 miles an hour, because it was kind of windy and looked like it was starting to rain or snow or something. And then all of a sudden, I feel the back of the pickup go. And all of a sudden, whew, right down an embankment. And I prayed, Lord, be with me right now. My pickup truck flipped completely, landed on the wheels, probably about 30 feet down the embankment, and the camper was demolished. It was scattered all over. and yes, the glass jars broke. I lost my glasses. I go, okay, where are my glasses? Lord, help me. I found my glasses, got out. The only thing wrong was I had a little tiny cut on my pinky. The smallest finger and a tiny little cut, and I went down an embankment of 30 feet, landed on the wheels. Now, God protected me. Yeah, well, lost the pickup and the camper, and we scrambled to get as much stuff, you know, that we had there. A lot of toys and things like that, but we were able to salvage most of the stuff. But that was a trial. And I believe that God was protecting me. That when I hit that patch of ice, I didn't know what was there. I didn't even see it. And someone was following me, and he saw the whole thing, and he was the one who called. And so before long, the rescue people came, and my blood pressure was really high, but nothing else was wrong. So I said, I don't need you. My wife's coming. And so, yes, that was a very stressful time in my life. But God's angels, I don't think we really even realize how God's angels protect us sometimes. But He is there. Now, the humanistic approach is to rely on human thinking and human strength. The philosophy of our time actually goes back to Adam and Eve. I can do it myself. I don't need God. I'm self-reliant. I have my own strength and ability. I think I can solve my own problems. The promise of science and technology have failed us. As we look in the world today, I just read, sometimes I read little news clips. I didn't read the whole story, but I saw this little news clip this week that something like 95% of food now has microplastics in it. Isn't that exciting? If we eat enough of that, we probably could have a jar of a plastic bottle. Probably all of us have eaten a plastic bottle this week. We just didn't know it. The world around us tempts us to think that we can rely on ourselves. People who are high achievers, that's kind of one of my strengths as achiever. One of my top five strengths is that every day I have to achieve something. That's what the description says in the strengths, the Clifton strengths. It says every day I have to achieve something. Otherwise, I can't go to sleep at night. So every day, in fact, you come by my office and I'll show you my to-do list. All the things I have to achieve. And then I cross them out. I think, okay, I got to get this done. I can do it. I'll just charge forward. But going through difficult times has a way of slowing us down and making us stronger. God does not keep us from difficult challenges. He helps us through difficult challenges. I've been studying in my personal devotions the Gospel of Luke. And just a couple weeks ago, I was doing my devotions on Luke chapter 9. And a very significant verse in Luke is chapter 9, verse 51. And in that verse, it says that Jesus, one translation says, he resolutely set his eyes towards Jerusalem. He determined to now head towards Jerusalem. It's a key turning point in the Gospel of Luke, because now he is heading towards the cross and the crucifixion. And then right after that, just a couple of verses later, two people want to follow Jesus. Following Jesus looked very attractive. In fact, you got free food sometimes, good entertainment. You got to see all the miracles. It was really interesting, you know, to follow along Jesus. It looked like a good time. So these two people said, wow, I want to be a disciple too. This looks great. And then we have this passage. As they were walking along, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And he said to another man, follow me. But this man said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. These two people, they wanted it easy. They did not want to count the cost of following Jesus. But Jesus was going to the cross, and that was a challenge. God's response, let's look at verse 14, God's response to our trust. So verse 14 starts off with another conditional kind of idea. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. You notice all of those I wills, those promises, God's response to our seeking him and putting our lives into his hands is that he will do all these things. He will rescue, protect, answer, be with us in trouble, deliver, honor, give a long life, protect, and to show salvation. God does not keep us from difficulty, harm, or challenges, but he helps us through them. Who or what do we trust in? The psalmist says, in you, God, I trust. Our temptation is to find those quick and easy answers. But the easy solution that we find may actually cause more trouble for us. God's promise, found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, and also Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, both Old Testament and New Testament, God promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God provides just what we need when we need it, though it may challenge us to trust in him. God may challenge us. He may sometimes send us through the trials and the challenges. What kind of world are we preparing in? We're preparing for. Many of you here are studying for seminary and ministry. Have you heard of the word VUCA? Go on to the next slide. VUCA. We live in a VUCA world. This is a term that's being tossed around. You may have come across this word. It's an abbreviation for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Volatile. I don't know if you saw the news this morning or yesterday, but you know, there's bombing in the Red Sea area, and you know, who knows what that will do. Turkey bombed in Syria, and you know, we live in a very volatile world. There's a lot of disruption of peace. The population has risen in places in the world to where it's almost unsustainable. It's uncertain. A lot of doubts and fears. Poor economies. Stock markets that go up and down. Food shortages. It is complex. We have so much information that comes to us that makes life very challenging. Sometimes I wish I could just go and be a farmer, forget all this complex modern stuff, and just go out and pull weeds. Wouldn't that be nice? Forget all this complex stuff we have to deal with every day. Ambiguous. A lot of uncertainty. How to interpret life. There's no answers. This is really a problem of postmodernism. Ambiguous, where there's no ultimate truth. Nothing you can build your life on. Everyone has a different opinion and idea. And so the ground is shaky. What will the world look like for our children and grandchildren? We have some children here. What will the world look like in 10 or 20 years for them? The Lord provides us courage to face the obstacles that we face, to live close to God. When we first came to the Philippines in 1998, our son was just turning 1 year old, and Shan was perhaps 4 years old, 3 years old. Yeah, our kids were really small. And so we came here for 6 weeks, and I taught Introduction to the Old Testament. In fact, some of my first students are people like Herbs, you know, people who've been around a long time. So the Lord opened the door for us to come back the following year, full time. Well, between that year, 1998, July, and then into the next June, when we arrived in the Philippines, our son Joel, some of you have met him, our son Joel was diagnosed with hepatitis B. And it was a very difficult situation for him. He was just 1 year old. When we took him in for tests on his liver, the enzyme chart was like hundreds, way up there, maybe 1,000. I don't know. But and enzymes are bad. Normal was just like, you know, in the tens or twenties, and his was like skyrocketing. The scarring was four, a scale of like 4 out of 5. If nothing was done for Joel, very likely he would not live to be a teenager, or he would have serious medical problems as he grew up. That's what we faced coming here as new missionaries. A sick son who we did not know what his future would be. And so we had arranged to bring with us on the airplane interferon in a cold pack, and then Rhonda was giving him shots in his legs 3 times a week. And then we had to find a doctor here in Manila who could help us. Now, I don't know if you've tried to navigate the medical system here. It is 100 times better than what it used to be. And so we did find a medical doctor at the old St. Luke's, which is now probably 2 hours away in traffic. And so that was my first year of teaching here at APNTS, preparing new classes, having a son who was fighting hepatitis B, living in a new culture. And you might think it's tough today living in Manila. Wow. You know, this is a dream compared to what we had, because now we have a nice road out here. Ortigas in the old days didn't even have a barrier. And it was just a free-for-all down here at the corner. You just zipped across straight to the Tai Tai Church or wherever. The corner didn't even look like that in the old days. And so, you know, things have drastically improved for getting around and many other things. This is a blessed day here in Manila. But in the old days, it was kind of challenging to get out and to do things like that. to take our son to the doctor, which we had to do like every, I don't know, was it every month or every couple weeks? Take time out of my classes and drive over there and come back and prepare for brand new classes, research and get all these notes in. And wow, it was, talk about stress. Our stress is up here. But we just had to trust God. And a miracle did happen for Joel. I can't remember how many months later or what year it was.
6 years later,
when Joel had the test done, he had cleared the virus. And some of you met him. He's played soccer out here. You see him, he's got muscles bigger than me. You know, he's very healthy, and God has given him a good life. So we're thankful for the miracle. But I know what it's like to walk through the challenging days. And Rhonda, and we've had other challenges in our life. The message is very simple in this passage, but it's difficult sometimes to remember and to live it out. The one who makes a way is the way. Go on to the last slide. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. My thoughts were drawn to a hymn. We don't have the hymnals out. I'll just read it. We were not going to sing it. Some of you might not even know this song, and my voice is not fit today to sing it. Otherwise, I would sing it for you. No. But my thoughts were drawn to this wonderful old hymn. Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I am safe evermore.